All right, so today we're opening up the source material, and we're doing a really deep dive into one of the biggest threats out there. Something facing, well, pretty much every organization, ransomware. Our mission today is pretty straightforward. We want to decode what effective ransomware protection actually looks like as we head into 2026.
Okay.
Because the stakes are just, they're so much higher now. The line between cybercrime and, you know, nation-state disruption is getting blurrier all the time.
It really is. We're not just talking about losing data. We're talking about attacks that can take down entire supply chains, critical services.
Exactly.
And that's why our focus here has to be on proactive protection. We're moving beyond that old idea of just having good backups. I mean, recovery is important, of course, but true resilience now is about stopping the attack before it happens.
Before it can execute, before it can spread.
And most importantly, before it can steal your data. Preventing the damage in the first place, that's the goal now.
And just to give you a sense of the scale here, this is the detail that really got me. Public data shows a 36% year-on-year rise in attacks in Q3 2025, which sounds bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the real story. Our sources indicate that nearly 85% of all successful ransomware attacks go completely unreported.
85%.
So the threat you're reading about in the headlines is, what, a tiny fraction of what's really going on?
It's an iceberg. A massive one.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What makes today's ransomware so much more dangerous than, say, 5 years ago? It's not just more of them, it's the sophistication, right?
Yeah.
The automation.
It's the AI. Attackers are deploying artificial intelligence to do things that, I mean, just weren't possible before.
Right.
We're talking about AI that can create brand new malware variants on the fly, making signature detection basically useless.
Wow.
And it can automate scraping entire cloud networks for valuable data and do it in minutes, not days.
But the speed is one thing. The sources we looked at, they all point to a fundamental shift in the goal of the attack.
That's the critical point. The goal has changed. Most of these groups now are focused on one thing above all else: stealing data.
For these double or triple extortion attacks.
Exactly. They learn that just locking up your systems, well, it only gets them so far, but threatening to leak your sensitive customer data or your internal emails or selling your trade secrets on the dark web.
That's a much bigger stick.
It's a huge stick. And what's interesting is that it doesn't just increase the financial pressure. It blows up the reputational damage and, especially now, the regulatory risk.
So your defense can't wait for the lockdown anymore. It has to stop the data from ever leaving.
You have to stop it at the source. And to do that, you have to understand their playbook. It's not chaos. It's a very structured 5-stage operation.
Right. Knowing that structure tells you where you can actually fight back.
Precisely.
So stage one is, it's all about targeting and reconnaissance. They do their homework.
A lot of homework. They're patient. They're researching industries, looking for high-value targets, and then trying to find that one weak point. Maybe it's a supplier or a remote worker or a cloud service that isn't locked down properly.
And once they find that crack, that brings them to stage two, initial access, the break-in.
Yep. Usually through a really well-crafted phishing email or an unpatched piece of software, they just need that one foothold to get inside the wire.
Okay, so they're in. Now, is this next stage? Is this where a lot of companies still drop the ball? Stage three, lateral movement and privilege escalation.
This is the pivot point. Once they're inside, they move quietly. They try to blend in with normal network traffic while they hunt for the crown jewels domain controllers, your backup systems.
If they get control of those,
it's game over. They have the keys to the kingdom, and often you don't even know they're there yet.
So once they have those keys, they move to stage four, mm-hmm. which has this modern dual goal: data discovery and exfiltration.
Yeah, right. Two things are happening at once. They're encrypting your files to cause chaos and shut you down, but at the same time, they are pulling terabytes of your most sensitive data out of the network.
And that's the real weapon. Then comes stage five, the final act: extortion and ransom demands.
The systems are locked,
right.
And you get the message. The threat isn't just pay us to get your files back. It's pay us or we leak everything.
So if that's their blueprint, a simple firewall isn't going to cut it. You need, what, a layered approach. This brings us to the four core pillars of effective protection.
It does. And pillar number one has to be real-time threat detection. And, I mean, this is way beyond just looking for known malware. Your tools have to be monitoring behaviors.
What does that mean exactly?
It means flagging anomalies the second they happen. A user account suddenly trying to access a server it never touches. A process starting to encrypt files. You need to catch it instantly. The detection has to be as fast as the AI offense.
Okay, that makes sense. Pillar two.
Pillar two is arguably the most important one right now. Anti-data exfiltration, or ADX. Look, if over 94% of these attacks involve data theft, then preventing that data from leaving your network is your single best defense against the extortion part of the attack. It's about blocking suspicious outbound traffic.
And then the third pillar is more structural, network hardening.
Diligent patching, obviously. But the big one here is adopting a zero-trust architecture.
For anyone who's not deep in this world, zero-trust is. It's more of a philosophy, isn't it?
It's a philosophy. Never trust, always verify, even for users and devices inside your network. It means if one machine gets compromised, the attacker can't just wander over to the next one. It severely limits that lateral movement we talked about.
And the fourth pillar is one we can't ever forget.
No. Employee education. Because at the end of the day, the human element is still the most common way in. All the tech in the world can't stop one person clicking on a very convincing phishing link.
So training has to be continuous, and it has to target what attackers are doing right now. Okay, so let's get practical. Adopting zero trust is a big project. But what about spotting the attack in real time? How does that actually work?
That's where behavioral monitoring is so critical for 2026. We're moving away from relying on signatures of threats we already know about.
Because the AI attackers are creating things we've never seen before.
Right. So instead, machine learning builds a baseline of what's normal for your network. And if something weird happens, a server suddenly starts trying to send huge amounts of data to a strange location, an admin logs in at 3 a.m. from a different country, the system flags it instantly.
It doesn't need to know what the threat is, just that something is wrong.
That's the key. It's about spotting abnormal behavior, not just known malware.
You know, it's so easy for us to sit here and talk about data packets and firewalls, but the human cost. The cruelty of this business model is, well, it's really something else. That case with the UK nursery chain really highlights it.
Oh, that was just a brutal case. I mean, they didn't just encrypt the business records.
No. They posted images of the children online. And they called the parents directly to put this immense psychological pressure on the nursery to pay.
It's horrible. And that case tells you two really important things. First, the tactics are designed to maximize emotional leverage. But second, it shows how the threat has changed because of RaaS ransomware as a service.
It's made it easy for anyone to get in the game.
So easy that the people behind that nursery attack were allegedly a couple of teenagers. You don't need a state-sponsored hacking group anymore. Anyone can do it, which means everyone is a target.
So that means your protection has to be tailored. If you're a small or medium-sized business, you don't have a big security team.
Right. For you, it's all about automated tools. Managed detection services, strong endpoint protection that includes that ADX component. You need tools that work without needing a whole team to manage them.
And for mid-market firms, a bit bigger, more complex.
There, you have to prioritize centralized monitoring and that behavioral analytics piece. Network segmentation is non-negotiable, and you have to start actively testing your defenses. Run simulations.
Then you get to the large enterprises. They're facing the most sophisticated attackers.
And their challenge is complexity. They need it all. Deeply layered defenses, threat hunting teams, full zero trust frameworks, and this is huge. They have to manage supplier risk. Because an attack on your smallest vendor can become an attack on you.
So whether you're a 10-person shop or a global giant, if you're looking at solutions for 2026, what's on the checklist? What tells you a product is actually up to the job?
Okay, the checklist needs three things, specifically to stop that full attack lifecycle. First, and we've said it a lot, anti-data exfiltration, ADX. Can it block that data from leaving? Yes or no?
Non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. Second, you need on-device behavioral analysis. This is critical. It means the analysis happens locally on the machine itself, so it can spot brand new zero-day threats without having to check in with a cloud server.
So it's not dependent on a connection.
Exactly. And third, it has to have real-time attack containment. If it spots a malicious process, it needs to be able to automatically, instantly isolate that machine from the network to stop the bleeding.
Speed is everything.
Speed is everything.
Because even with the best defenses, something might get through. An AI attack, a human mistake. And if you detect an active attack, those first few minutes are what determines whether it's a minor incident or a catastrophe.
Absolutely. The first step is always isolate.
Yeah.
Get the affected systems off the network immediately to stop the spread.
Then activate your incident response plan. And this is a big one. Preserve the evidence. Don't just wipe the machines.
Please do not wipe the machines. You need that forensic data. And then right away, you have to assess for data exfiltration and make the required reports to regulators and your insurance.
When you connect all this to the bigger picture, It seems like the defining capability, the thing that separates effective defense from old school defense, is preventing that data exfiltration.
It is the defining capability. Because the attackers have made double and triple extortion their business model. If you can't stop the data theft, then even if you stop the encryption, you can still face catastrophic damage.
So the core lesson here is, we have to move the goalposts. We're shifting from a mindset of recovery and backup to one of real-time containment and total data control.
That's the whole game now.
Which, I guess, leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over. We know attackers are using generative AI to create novel attacks that are almost impossible to detect with old methods. So if your defense is still based on matching known malware, how fast will AI-powered defenses need to evolve to counter AI-powered offenses? And what subtle new behaviors are going to define the next generation of attacks? That's something to think about until our next deep dive.